Hey, Faith Lutheran Church, this is Pastor Terrell, and it's time for another episode of Sunday on Monday. I want to talk and reflect on something that came up yesterday during our discussion. We had a wonderful Bible study and a great time together in worship, receiving the gifts of God and hearing of His Word. And one of the themes that came up in both our Bible study and our worship was the condition of our heart and what comes out of our heart and what our heart leads us to do and to say. And I was thinking about this because, and I didn't talk about it much yesterday. So Psalm 51 came to mind as I was reflecting on yesterday. And Psalm 51 is written by David, King David. He was caught up by his heart into adultery, committing adultery, and then trying to cover it up. So trying to deceitfully cover his tracks. And he did that by murdering the woman's husband that he committed adultery with. And God confronts him through the prophet Nathan, Nathan confronts him about his sin and calls him to repent, that is to come back to God and God's ways. And David does. He hears Nathan's call and does come back to God. And he prays and writes Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is his confession. And Psalm 51 is connected to our discussion yesterday in that it reveals David's heart, the condition of David's heart, that it is broken and full of sin and iniquity and transgression, and that David looks to God to cleanse him and give him a new heart. So David, in his confession, he's not trying to make his heart right, like the Pharisees perhaps are doing as they're debating Jesus in Mark chapter 7. They're trying to show their purity by how they wash or what foods they eat and the ceremonies they do and the clothes they wear. They're trying to display their holiness and cleanness. And Jesus is trying to tell them, no, it's what comes out of your heart. It's the condition of your heart that leads you astray and that causes you to sin and defiles you. And David is recognizing this in this psalm, I think, and he is praying to God to fix him, to fix his heart. And then he also recognizes that this saving act, this creation of a new heart and the forgiveness of sins and this washing over and is done by God, that this is God's work and that his salvation comes from God. And these are important things for us to remember. So in Bible study, we kind of closed with this discussion in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 on who is the strong and who is the weak and what's going on here. And we talked about this idea that we know that those who are strong in the faith understand that their hearts are broken and that they have this desire within them to forsake the things of God, to go their own way or to turn things upside down, as we've been hearing in the sermon texts. And it is God who makes things right. It is God who has freed us from sin, death, and the devil, who forgives us, renews us, saves us, and it's his work alone. It has nothing to do with how we wash or what foods we eat or what we wear or how holy we look and righteous we act around others. It has everything to do with God. And so let me read just some of Psalm 51. Hear what David has to say. He prays, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions are, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth an inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your willing spirit. Did you hear David's confession? My heart, from the moment I was conceived, is sinful. I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. There was never been a time, David says, where my heart was not against God, where my heart has not defiled me in some way. And he prays to God, purge me, wash me, hide your face from my sin, create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit, a steadfast spirit within me. Restore within me the joy of your salvation. So David looks to God for forgiveness, for life everlasting, for salvation, being saved from sin and death, and even the schemes of the devil. David looks to him, and he knows that it is God who creates in him a clean, undefiled heart. And it is only God who does these things. And this is what makes you strong. You understand that your heart is broken, that there is so many evil thoughts that just pour out from you, and that is what makes you unclean. That is what defiles you before God. You also realize in faith that it is Christ and the Spirit of God and his precious word that revives your soul, that creates in you a clean heart, and that allows you to rejoice in your salvation that Jesus has won for you on that cross. I want to read for you in closing here a prayer. Now, this prayer was written by C.F.W. Walther. Walther was the first president of our church way back in the 1800s when our German forefathers migrated over here, landed up by St. Louis, and founded what became the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Walther was one of the first. He's part of that group, and he writes this prayer about being guided by God's word, where we hear this message of our salvation and understand what it means to live in God with a clean heart. So let me read this prayer. Lord Jesus, by your servant John, you addressed these words to your congregation at Philadelphia. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on earth. Such a season of temptation has again come upon the entire world in our day, and many of our Christians have been overcome by it. The reason for their sad fate is that they do not keep the word of your patience. We plead you, therefore, grant grace to all of us that in the spiritual darkness of these last times, we let your word be our light, that we let your testimonies be our counselors in all matters pertaining to what we must do to please you and to choose that which is right, and that we let your word be our guide in life's pilgrimage in order that we may walk the path leading to heaven. May we never follow our reason, which is blind in spiritual things, nor the world, which is completely estranged from you and cares nothing for you and your word, nor our hearts, which always lust after that which displeases you. But graciously grant that we may always make your word the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. Bless also our deliberations in all time, and guard, guide, and protect us. In your truth, amen.